July 15th, Junior High Camp, Afternoon Chapel. Who's had a good day? Yeah! Has it been fun?
Yeah!
Man, what's been so fun today? Okay. Shh, eyes on me. Eyes on me. Would it have been any fun being here all by yourself?
No!
So we've got water skiing, we've got mountain biking, we've got a climbing wall, we've got a volleyball court, we do all these fun things together. But if there wasn't people to do them with, you're telling me it would be no fun?
Yeah!
Isn't that funny? Have you ever been in a situation where you have done the worst job ever, like, I don't know.
Work at McDonald's.
What's that?
Work at McDonald's.
I've never worked at McDonald's, but that can't be the worst job. How about this? Having to scoop out a bunch of poop out of like an old sewer. That would be like one of the worst jobs ever. Okay. And you know what I think? You know what I think? If you're doing it with your best buds, it like somehow becomes a little bit fun, even though it's like the worst job ever. Isn't that weird? All right, let's pray and we're gonna get started. We're gonna pray and we're gonna get started and I'm gonna speak to you. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we've had so much fun. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to hear your voice speak to us through the thoughts, through the feelings that you put into us. And we ask, Lord, that we will respond to you in a way that makes you smile. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we talked about how hard it is and how easy it can be to follow God. And if you were in the adventure camp, if you were in the trek camp, you heard me talk about Eric Little.
Yeah?
Yeah. And how he had a big story about being an Olympian and being a preacher and making some hard decisions. Well, tonight, I want to tell you a little bit of what about it means to be a Christian. Okay? And how you can make that decision if you want. Now, the most important thing in my life, more important than my wife, more important than my kids, more important than my job, more important than anything else in this world, is my relationship with God. It is the most important thing. God has created me for a relationship with Him. God has created you for a relationship with Him as well. There's nothing more important in this world than that relationship, your relationship with God. There's nothing more important. And if you begin to understand that, if we begin to understand that, then we begin to change the way we live. We begin to change how we spend our time and what we do. We begin to pray to God. We begin to read the Bible more. We begin to talk with our friends about God more. Maybe we go to church. Maybe we go to youth group or Sunday school or something where we can learn more about God. If God becomes the most important thing in our life looks different than the lives of those in the world who maybe it's not the most important thing. So, having a relationship with Jesus is not that complicated. In fact, Jesus makes it super, super easy. And I'm going to spell it out really clearly for you. Okay? Number one, you have to believe that there's a God who loves you, that Jesus is real, and He wants to be in your life. Okay? Number two, You have to be able to accept His love, His grace for you. Even though, if you're like me and everyone else, you've messed up. And you have to be able to say, even though, God, I've messed up, I'm going to accept your love. Even though I've missed the mark and not done what you want, or I've done some things that I'm ashamed of, you love me. And I'm going to give my life and be with you and live my life for you. And then we simply have to say, Lord, you are in control. It is your life. It is no longer my life. It's your life. You're in the driver's seat. I'm no longer the one in control. That's hard, but it's easy. But it's hard. Because we like to be in control, don't we? But you know what's amazing? I'm 39, as we learned yesterday. And most of my life, I've been a Christian. Doing my best to follow God. And you know what I struggle with even today? Is taking control and living my life the way I think I should live it. And every day, and sometimes multiple times a day, I have to say, God, it's not me. I have to say, Lord, take control. I want to be in control of this situation, but I obviously am not. Take control of me, Lord. You're the one who's going to live this life. Just guide me and I'll walk the steps. I'll do the things. I'll say the things that you want me to. Guide me today. And sometimes I'm really aware of His guiding me, and sometimes I'm just trusting Him that He's guiding me, and even though I'm unaware of His guiding me. Being a Christian is but one simple thing. Living in God's grace for you. Grace is undeserved favor. You know, when I was a kid, I messed up lots. Remember the story I told you this morning? I cheated. If you were in Trek camp, you wouldn't have heard that story. But I cheated. I helped some kids, gave kids an answers on a math test. And I got in trouble. My dad was the principal. And so I got in big trouble. But you know what? When I got home, my dad didn't stop loving me. My dad still gave me food to eat, still gave me a place to sleep, still gave me hugs, still played catch with me. My dad still loved me. And I was still willing to receive that love, even though I had missed the mark and I had messed up. Same thing with God. We miss the mark, but we are willing to live in relationship and say, you know what? I'm sorry, God. Let me keep loving you as best I can. So, our world is pretty broken, isn't it? Like, there's some things that are just... people hurt each other, don't they? And sometimes we get hurt. And it's no fault of our own. Sometimes we hear people yelling at each other, whether it be at home or at school or wherever. And we're just like hurting inside because nobody likes each other sometimes, it feels like. It's hard. God can heal us of our hurt, of our worry, of our concerns that are bigger than life sometimes. The things that overwhelm us. Things that are of no fault of our own, but just are the reality of this broken world. God wants to heal us. And sometimes that healing comes bang in a moment. It says, Lord, please heal me. I'm hurting so badly because of... And God can bring healing into our hearts and into our lives. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes God teaches us how to live, how to receive healing. And it takes some time. But either way, God wants to heal you of your hurt, of your brokenness. And sometimes our hurt and brokenness is because of bad decisions, and sometimes it's because of the world around us. God wants to heal you and forgive you of anything that might be in your life that you're like, this is not what I want in my life. So we're going to look up a verse. It's Romans 3:23. And I promised you guys, and I have to apologize, I promised you Bibles tonight. But the delivery that I was hoping for didn't come tonight. And so I can't even give you an expected time of arrival, but I will make sure, even if I have to drive somewhere, that by the end of the week we will have Bibles to give to you, okay? I'll have an update tomorrow probably. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. And if you haven't found it yet, just listen to me, okay? Eyes on me so I know you're listening, okay? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Okay, look at me. For everyone has sinned. Sin means you've missed the mark, you've messed up, you haven't done things the way they should be. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Every single one of us. And so if we're going to live in relationship with God, if we're going to live in a growing relationship with God, we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with the reality that I'm not perfect. That I've messed up. And we have to be okay with God giving us grace, undeserved favor. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter is towards the end of the Bible. Almost at the end. Okay? So if you're curious about where it is, it's like way at the back. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And while you're looking this up, 1 Peter 5:8, I'm just going to say, I told you junior high campers that there's something in this world called Satan. And Satan has come to kill and destroy and hurt us. He doesn't want us to have life with God. He wants us to suffer. And sometimes we think Satan and the devil, goes by both names, is just kind of this made up character in cartoons or make believe, fantasy. According to the Bible, Satan is a very real being. Okay? Not somebody we have to fear because God is stronger and conquered him. But very real, and he's come to destroy us. But we're going to learn some good things about God. So here it is. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Have you ever seen a lion on TV prowling? Could you imagine how terrifying that would be to be hunted by a lion? That would be scary. And Satan, he doesn't want life for us. He doesn't want life for us. Isaiah, you guys don't need to turn here, okay? I'm just going to read this one. Isaiah 41:10 says this. And I love this verse. This is another one of my favorites. It says this, don't be afraid. I just told you that Satan's trying to devour you like lion. Maybe we're a little bit afraid. Now I'm telling you not to be afraid. Well, this is what this says. Don't be afraid. This is God speaking. For I am with you. Don't be discouraged. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. God's got this. He is bigger than any problem. He is bigger than any enemy. He is bigger than any possible thing that you can imagine in your life. God is bigger, He is stronger, and He is more able to do bigger things than you could possibly imagine. God is big, and He is really, really good. Like super good. Not just good at stuff, but like good as in His heart is good. He is for you. All right? So, if God is with us and we don't have to be afraid, it brings something to us. It brings something really, really good to us. All right? And John 10:10 says this. All right? It says, the thief's purpose, that's kind of describing the devil here. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, that's Jesus speaking, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Or another translation says, life to the full. Not necessarily rich materially, wealth, but rich as in so full of God's goodness in your life that it just is overwhelmingly good. Overwhelmingly good. So if you would like to be a Christian, if you would like to learn to follow Jesus, you know, I would invite you to do that this evening. And it's really simple. It's really simple. You say, God, I want you to be in control. And then we tell Him that you're sorry, God, I'm sorry for all the things that I've messed up in life. Forgive me and heal me from all the hurt that's in my life. And then you open your eyes and you're like, I'm going to live for Jesus. My life's now gone from pointed my way to pointed God's way. It's no longer pointed to where I'm pointing it. I'm walking in God's direction. I'm moving where God wants to go. I'm living for Jesus. So, we're going to pray in just a second. But there's something really important that you need to know. That this grace, this undeserved favor that God wants to give you, wants to give me, offers it freely to us. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot do enough good things to receive it. You just can't. It is a free gift. In fact, Romans 6:23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin, all the actions that we do that don't line up with God, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you know that you are an eternal being? You had a beginning. You were born one day. You have a birthday. And someday this body will die, but your soul will live forever. And you get to choose where it's going to live forever. In heaven with God, or in hell. And there's no in-between places. That's just the reality. And it's a hard reality. And people don't like talking about it sometimes. And it's scary. And it's uncomfortable. And it makes us feel like, well, I don't like it. So let's just put that under the rug. But that's the reality. Each and every one of you will live forever somewhere. And I would strongly suggest that you decide and you ask God if it's okay to live with Him forever once this life on earth is done. For the wages of sin, some of you have been memorizing verses, and some of you might have this verse memorized. For the wages of sin, who knows it? Who knows it? Tavis, you know it?
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life.
Who else knows it? Zoe?
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Who else knows it? One more time. This is the last time.
The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Awesome. For the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. No truer words could be spoken. So if you'd like to become a Christian tonight and begin that journey, it's time to go. It's time to take that step. It's time to take that first journey and begin. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And everybody's going to pray, heads bowed, eyes closed. And you can just repeat in your heart. You don't have to say it aloud. Lord Jesus, I am really, really sorry for how I have missed the mark and I have messed up and sinned. Lord, forgive me. Heal me of all the hurt in my life. You are going to be in control, and I choose to live for you today. Amen. So if you have prayed that prayer, I would love for you to come talk to me, or especially tell your cabin leader, your tent leader. It is so important. Because remember what I said before? How much fun would it be to live this Christian life by yourself? It would be hard. Not very much fun. But you guys know how much fun it is to be with other Christians and to live your life for God. Just by your experience today, it's given you kind of a taste of what that's supposed to feel like. It's a good thing. So I would encourage you to tell your friends. I'd encourage you to tell your cabin leader. I'd encourage you to tell your parents, your pastor, anybody that you can think of. And you don't need to be scared about it. Because it's kind of a normal thing. Lots of people live their life for Jesus and are Christians. I'm one. Cabin leaders. Lots of the campers. All right? Let me pray for you guys. We're going to wrap up. And I believe we've got some next things that we're going to go to. All right? Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thanks for keeping us safe. We ask, Lord, that for those who have gotten hurt today and those who are sick, that you will bring healing to them and that you will help them get better really quickly. Lord, give us a wonderful time this evening and remind us often of the decisions we have made here tonight and help us to keep walking in the path that you have for us throughout our entire lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.